Music, industry talk, stories, equipment and more. We are Crossfader and this is Off the Record. Off the Record. Off the Record.
Yes, gang, welcome back to the Off the Record DJ podcast. In today's episode, we're going to get stuck into, do you care about the world's most expensive DJ mixer? What are the top five hardest things that people don't tell you about becoming a DJ? And we build your DJ library with another game of Add to Playlist.
Yes.
How are we doing, boys, out of 10?
Yeah.
How are we feeling?
I'm up there. I'm like...
Give us a number.
I'm 9 in it.
9 in it?
Yeah. I'm 7 in it.
Yeah.
7 again.
I'm getting there.
What's your hopes and dreams?
I think it was 5.
What's your hopes and dreams? What's your hopes and dreams for this podcast?
To introduce some new bangers to people.
That's it. Yeah, I really enjoyed the game last week. And I think a lot of the listeners did as well.
So yeah. Good comments.
If it's your first time listening, hello. We are going to jump behind the decks. And every week we're going to aim to sort of build your playlist. We did it for the first time last week. And because we've got the shiny new club set up right next to our podcast set up, it's very easy to do. So we want to incorporate a bit more music into the podcast. If you are on Facebook, that's where you might lose us. But for anyone listening elsewhere, Danny's going to jump on the decks and give us 5 tracks later to add to your playlist. We're going to rate them, give them an energy level.
I always love Danny's tracks as well, so I'm very excited.
All right, lower expectations. All right. Rubbish. Big week. It's always a big week when there's a big announcement. And yeah, let's just get stuck into it. There's a brand new DJ mixer on the market. There's also an update, a couple of software updates as well we'll talk about. But the big talking point this week is Alpha Theta. Still not comfortable saying that. Alpha Theta have released a brand new shiny product called the Euphonia.
It's beautiful.
Well, is it? it's a rotary mixer. All the reviews are out now on our channel, and a vinyl mix that Jamie did. And it's the second product under the Alpha Theta brand. Yeah. And they are not shying away from being creative and out there and making a splash, which could go one of either two ways. Jamie, you did the review.
Yep.
Do you want to just tell us about the difference between sort of a normal DJ mixer and a rotary mixer?
Yeah. The big difference is that you don't have up faders. You don't have the faders that you push up and pull down. They are knobs that you turn. So yeah. That's the big difference, is the approach to bringing tracks in and out. And it stems from, that's what mixers, like back in the day, that was kind of standard. You know, the up fader method is much newer. You find a lot of rotary style things in, you know, your studio environments and things from back in the day. A lot of hardware did have those rotary style mixers, and a lot of the people out there that love audio and, you know, crave high quality audio really swear by rotary mixers. So the rotary market, even though it's more of a niche market, has a very diehard following to it. And the people that are interested in, like I said, high quality, you know, amazing audio coming out of their piece of hardware will probably gravitate more towards rotary mixing. The actual act of DJing changes slightly as well. A lot of rotary mixers don't have effects. Don't really have much on there apart from your volume fading and a bit of EQing. It's all about the sound quality that's coming out of it. And it creates this warmth. It's a lot of rotary mixers are analog mixers, which means they don't have digital circuitry in it. It's all analog components. So that's what creates this warmth. It's like the whole age-old debate of, you know, a CDJ versus a turntable. Yeah. Vinyl can sound warmer and richer than a digital counterpart of it. Yeah. And it's the same with the analog market. And that's why you see a lot of turntables being used with rotary mixers, because you've got the warmth of the analog vinyl being played through the analog circuitry on a rotary mixer, which creates what is meant to be the most unrivaled sound, the most true to its original source sound. Yeah. So
let's give some sort of highlights just as an overview. If you've not seen yet or you've not watched the reviews or anything like that, a few of the highlights are, first ever rotary mixer with a display. They're really pushing this euphoric sound experience. That's what Jamie was talking about. Yeah.
I'll talk a bit more about that in a second.
Specially developed rotary faders, built-in send effects, a 3-band master isolator, and an energy visualizer, which is very nice.
Yes.
And the price, it's expensive, but it is for the market. These type of mixers are in this bracket. It comes in at $3,799. So $3,799.
It's going to leave a dent.
$3,249. 214. I've
wrote. Hand that.
I've wrote here. I've wrote too many numbers here. $3,249.
Basically, it's a lot of money.
$3,500 and above, yeah. Which is a lot of money. But again, it's sort of in line with this type of mixer. But it does put it at a bracket of, in terms of DJ mixers, it is the most expensive one out there. It competes with the V10 long fader, which comes in about $3,500. So this is $200 more than that, I believe, which, again, it has to have something to back it up for that. But you think it has some like really good features that
I do, yeah.
Do allow it to
like
be.
You say, a lot of these mixers come in at this price range. There is one mixer that we've been told about that does come in higher than it. That's about $5,000.
Yeah,
right. But
as a mass produced DJ product, you know,
That you can just get your hands on.
Yeah.
I mean, this is one of the big things. A lot of the rotary market are independent, smaller brands where you there's waiting lists for months just to get your hand on a rotary mixer. And then if something breaks, there's like, again, trying to find components for it really hard. So this is interesting one for that market in particular, because by Alpha Theta stepping into it, they are able to mass market something that is quite a niche product for a niche market, which is naturally going to have an effect on those independent companies that make the rotary market, which, you know, some people are probably going to be like, whoa, what are you doing, Alpha Theta, you know, corporation coming in and, you know, stomping on the little guy. So that's something to bear in mind. Now, the price bracket, like, it's really hard to say yet because you've got to hear it, right?
Yeah, you do.
And it, like I said, this is a niche product that the people that care about it will understand why it is priced at that point. Now, it has a Rupert Neve transformer in it. Yep. And Rupert Neve is like a legendary, he's not with us anymore, but his company still is. And he made legendary mixing desks, you know, components, audio components, and really changed the game of audio engineering. And by having this hybrid mixer where they've got analog components from Rupert Neve and the digital like background of what everything that Alpha Theta has learned from their Pioneer DJM Nexus range of mixers coming together, it creates this unique hybrid sound, and it honestly sounds so warm and powerful. Yeah. And this 3-band master isolator is incredible. There's a boost switch on it. You can boost it to +6 or +12. And basically, if you put it to +6 or 12 and then turn these master isolator knobs, the mid, low, and high, if you turn them, it adds this like richness to the sound, but without damaging the audio. So you can take a song that is like fully mastered and produced, and then if you just boost the mids or the highs, it sounds even better. And it's mad. It brings out some clarity without any distortion whatsoever. I don't know how it does it. It's the magic of these, you know, what's going on inside of it.
Yeah.
But it does sound absolutely incredible. And I had so much fun playing on it.
So you did a vinyl mix.
I did.
Yes. How was that?
Yeah, I dug through a load of my old records.
And we don't put many vinyl content on the channel.
No.
So if that's your thing, guys, go to our channel now on YouTube and just watch the vinyl mix that Jamie put together in our new Shiny Club Boo setup, and let us know what you think. And if you want more vinyl content, let us know, because we will happily do that.
Yes. Just to go back to it, a few firsts, like you said, there are effects on this, which I think helps bring across some of that audience that are maybe used to the more club setups, that are used to, you know, send and return effects. Okay, we've got that on a rotary mixer now, so that might bring some of that audience over to this mixer, which is really exciting. The effects sound incredible. There's this energy visualizer on it as well, which is basically like your EQ waveform. So you see all the, you know, the bouncing waveform bouncing around. And there's an analog display. It's a digital display, but it's got the analog looking... what would you call it? Needles.
Yeah, it's like a needle.
They bounce up and down. Yeah. And there's four channels on this thing, and you could have four needles and they all bounce around, and it really helps you visualize like the levels in the music. And it's just, it's really intuitive. Honestly, I had so much fun playing on it. Would I spend that money on it? Probably not, unless I was literally going to be like, right, I'm done DJing in clubs. I just want to DJ at home for myself. I'm going to get some, you know, I'm going to spend a load of money on this. If I've got that disposable income, then yes.
Yeah.
I would, because it just takes it back to that, the raw essence of DJing.
Absolutely.
It's so nice.
It'd be interesting to see, because that certain moments in time, certain DJs, certain sets bring technology like into the public eye more. So if a thing like this, which is very alien to your average DJ, let's just say, you know, next year at Coachella or one of these festivals is Kyle Cox
using
or,
it, yeah.
or, you know, one of the big DJs, Fisher or something like that, using it. There'll be a lot of, like, you know, beginner DJs, new DJs, a bit like when you see Fred again bashing a machine.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, I want to get into that because what is this? This is new. I've never seen this before. If you see one of your favorite, like Fred again, if he's using one of these in like a year's time, it might bring that whole rotary experience to a bit of a more mass market, and there might be like, you know, a cheaper version available that Alpha Theta put out. But interesting to see where it goes, what happens to it.
There's one thing I don't like about it.
Go. What's that?
Rose gold.
You're not into rose gold?
I'd have preferred silver.
Silver, yeah.
Would you? I don't mind the rose gold.
I think it's one of those things that it could age quicker. Rose gold, you know, like comes in and out of fashion sort of thing.
But on the Opus Quad, the rose gold looks gorgeous, you know?
Yeah. I'm not fully sold on it there either.
Okay, yeah. See, this is the thing.
Yeah. Aesthetics-wise, I'd have just liked it to just be like raw.
Yeah. Raw? I like it. There we go. What do you think, guys? Let us know in the comments. We are live, by the way, guys. We love interacting with you guys and asking your questions. Hello to everyone that said hello. If you have any questions at all, we love to favorite your questions. What do you think about this new controller? What do you think about rotary controllers in general? Would you try this? If this product was, you know, £1,000, would you consider replacing your current setup for one of these euphonias? Let us know what you think. What do you think about the price tag of it? I think that's the biggest.
That's the only thing that lets it down for me.
Well, it's interesting where sort of Alpha Theta go, because so far they've not released a straight up DJ product that every DJ can sort of use.
Yeah.
Right, you've got Omnis Duo, which is again a very niche market of people who would like to take it out flexible. You're not going to use it in a club, are you, really?
No.
And then you've got this, which is super, super high end, you know, top 1% of DJs who will put it on a rider. I'll have it in their nice bedroom in, you know, Mayfair in London.
Yeah. So far, everything Alpha has put out has been top end.
Top end. Like, they are very premium. Very niche. Experimental, which we like. I like pushing the boundaries. But it would be nice to get a slam dunk from them, which is like, you know, something like, you know, Flex 10, but, you know, for every DJ that can be using clubs.
Yeah.
And let's just see what that next product is from them, or if they double down on this experimental phase and just go, oh yeah, there's a 10 grand mixer. Next.
But look, this is off the record, and I spoke to, so Alpha Theta is Pioneer DJ, right?
Yeah, it is.
All the same company, like they just changed the brand. So they said that this mixer has been years and years in the making.
Okay.
It's something that they wanted to do a long time ago, and it was from when the V10 was announced and released.
Right.
So like 2020.
Because they released the V10 and everyone said, oh, can we get a rotary version of this? Yeah. Like, can we get this as a rotary mixer? And they heard that and they were like, right, okay. So that's when the long fader came about, because they basically said they couldn't adapt that into a rotary mixer. There wasn't enough space on it. It was too cramped.
Right.
It needed to be a whole new product, but they made the long fader version, which made, you know, it tried to be like,
tried to
sweeten it for the market. They were crying out for it. So they've had this in the pipeline for a long time. And I think this is where they haven't known how to bring it to market. And now that they've changed to Alpha Theta, they've gone, this is a good product for us to try with this new brand and da-da-da-da-da. And I think that's why it's come about at this stage, potentially. Mm. But it has been, you know, a few years in the making, from what I heard.
Yeah, so you can go and check out full review on our YouTube right now and the vinyl mix as well. And if you like the vinyl stuff, do let us know, because we would like to put out some more vinyl stuff. let us know what you think of it. We are going to talk about some of the hardest things about being a DJ, what they don't tell you at the start. So we're going to list about five or six things, hard things about becoming a DJ. If you've got any off the top of your mind, put them in the chat and we'll get to your suggestions. There has been a couple of other software updates and announcement. Engine 3.4 has landed. And one of the standout features on Engine DJ's latest update is the addition of Bluetooth capabilities for supported devices. So now DJs can wirelessly play audio from a Bluetooth-capable device on their supported Engine DJ hardware, which is pretty cool, which is pretty sick and needed. A lot of people have been... I was looking at the comments and people are really buzzing about this. Key features are... assignment to any individual hardware channel on the main audio output. Assignment to layer A or B on their SC6000s. Bluetooth transport controls to play, pause, track, skip, and use the touchscreen or hardware controls when connected to a compatible Bluetooth device. That's the update for Engine 3.4 for any of you Engine users, you dead on people. And there's also been a minor update to Recordbox, which now has the DJ Rev 7 compatible, which is pretty cool.
Yep.
We need a Rev 7. If you're listening, Alpha Theta, send us a Rev 7, please. Yeah, they're the software updates. So let's get stuck into some Reddit drama this week, which is all about the hardest things about being a DJ.
Reddit drama, it's all over the place. People arguing, fighting, all up in your face. Reddit drama. Reddit drama.
Jamie's just downed a whole massive croissant and he just said he's hungry.
I didn't have my second lunch today, that's the problem.
Right, guys, shout out to Mikey Lyon on Reddit. I've realised that a lot of these Reddit people listen to this podcast
now.
Yeah,
apparently so. Yeah. I had no idea. And then we started getting comments and I'm like, oh, you actually watched this?
And we caught out.
We've been going hard on the Reddit dramas, so I might go a little bit easier knowing that you watch.
Because shout out to the Redditors.
If we get cancelled on Reddit, it's game over for us. So shout out to Mikey Lyon. He has basically literally given us a whole podcast episode here in this post. It's a really good one. It really touched the nerve with me. We are now experienced DJs, and I think that there's a lot of experienced DJs listening to this podcast. I would say that the majority of people listening to this podcast have been DJing a while, probably.
Yeah.
So there's a few things. The post is called "The One Thing They Don't Tell You About Being a Pro DJ," and it's actually listed six. So there's a few things. let me start off by saying this is from, like I say, Mikey Lyon. In my 10 years as a touring DJ, I've noticed the importance of good mental health is always overlooked, especially by aspiring DJs trying to make their dreams a reality. Pro DJing is not a career for the mentally weak. Every touring artist across all genres of music and art forms will at some point struggle with their mental health. It's the nature of the job. The combination of easy access to substances, long late hours, irregular sleep schedules, pressure to sell tickets, social media presence, comparisons, and all the need to constantly produce great art for fans, all while paying the bills, will create a ticking time bomb that will explode if not managed meticulously. So some of the points that he's made here are to sort of help you navigate that if you are. And I want to talk to like the resident DJs who are, you know, working four or five times a week, all the DJs who are doing, you know, a couple nights a week and a job as well. So let's first talk about sort of like self-care being like non-negotiable. And what I mean by that is when I was in the thick of it, it is easy to, you know, stay out late, have, you know, a few drinks, you're playing five nights a week, and then you wake up and then all of a sudden you're just back into it again next day.
Yeah.
So it is hard to sort of detach. Now I'm a bit more older experience, it is a bit more easy to be like, okay, let's, you know, go to the gym, get your 8 hours, that kind of thing. But if you're getting in at 5 a.m., it's not easy to sleep until 3 p.m. No. It's just not how the body sort of works. But there are, you know, things that you can be doing that is not, you know, going out five nights a week and, you know, drinking every night. Even if it is, like, I used to just have, like, you know, a couple of drinks here and there. Like, I didn't realise how much that does affect you over time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? As opposed to being like, I'm just not drinking at all. Like,
yeah. I had to be, it was either I was drinking or not.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm one of those people that after a few drinks, it fuels me drinking more. I've got, I'm very bad at being able to go,
I'm the same.
Oh, I'm fine, just a few drinks. Mm. Like, it fuels me wanting more to drink and to turn it into a party. So,
I just think, you know, trying to get some sort of routine that prioritizes healthy living, and, you know, eating after work is like one of the no-goes. What's weird, so me and Jamie have this fitness app, don't we, call it's a Whoop, basically, right? It's an advanced fitness tracker, and it tracks this thing called HRV. We won't go into the technical thing of it, but we've noticed that when we have a late meal, it affects our sleep, and you don't even realize it. You're still asleep,
but
the quality
your body's
sleep,
working hard to digest.
Yeah, so your body's eating while you're asleep, so it's not, you don't have the tools to have a really good deep sleep for you to then bounce back the next day.
Yeah.
What I would have loved when I was working six nights a week is for someone to tell me to start doing just a bit of breath work.
Okay.
Straight after a gig. To switch off from the adrenaline.
Mm. Yeah.
Using a calming breath work to bring that adrenaline down and to calm you down before bed.
Yeah.
I wish someone had introduced me to breath work at that stage in my career.
A lot of DJs, I've said it before, aren't we? A lot of DJs just sit in their car.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You've done it before.
So many times. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'd say research box Box breathing, box breathing, breath, breath,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Wim Hof, Wim Hof's your guy for breathing. Yeah. Wim Hof's your guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Self care, like, you know, eating healthy, going to the gym. Like I say, if you're not sort of like super active like that, but the eating after work is like just something you can, like, I would just tell you to stop doing. I know it's not easy because you are starving. You burn so many calories. A DJ in a 5-6 hours. You even if you're not like a, you know, hands in the air sort of DJ, you just stood up. You know, moving. You know, you're burning like 500-600 calories probably on some nights. Not even thinking about it. So no wonder you're hungry. You're probably dehydrated, especially if you're drinking.
Yeah.
Another one is your circadian rhythm. Now, naturally, if you're working till 4 or 5 in the morning, you're going to need to find some time to sleep, right?
Yeah.
That's fine. Like, but when you wake up maybe at midday or early afternoon, get straight outside.
Yeah.
Go outside. Yeah. Get fresh air. Get the sun on your skin, and just allow your eyes to see daylight, because if you go too long not having enough hours seeing daylight, like when we're recording courses in the studio and there's no natural daylight, I can come out of here absolutely like feeling like I'm on another planet, because it's just so disorientating. And I think it's very easy to get caught in that trap of like you only see daylight for an hour a day. And actually, if you can just extend that a bit, it will make a world of difference to your DJ career.
Big time. The second point is, and this really, I get this totally, is establish boundaries. I didn't get this early on a lot of people are, you know, naturally sort of people pleasers, and you say yes to everything. And when you're, if you're in a circuit of DJs, there's always an event on, there's always something to do or go out. Say you're doing 4 nights a week. Them 3 nights you have off, there's always something to do. And then and then nights you have off, actually you treat them as, you know, this is where I want to go out and not DJ. So, you know, you might be having a few drinks at work and the next day you've got a night off, and then you're actually just going out. So there's never a time to like switch off, and they'll be like, oh, and then they'll, you know, say you DJ until, I don't know, 1 in the morning. Your mates will be DJing at the club till 4 in the morning.
Yeah,
there's afters, you know? Yeah. So if you can, and just even saying no to like, you know, okay, I've DJed 5 nights in a row. Oh, can you come and, you know, do this set for me? This DJ's cancelled. Like establishing some boundaries between network promoter, network manager is a healthy way to go about it.
I feel like it's really easy trap to fall into as well, especially when, you know, it's something that you really, really care about and you just want to like throw yourself into it fully. I felt like victim to it, where I was like, I was DJing every single night of the week, and then I wouldn't sleep properly, and I'd get up and I'd also feel like, oh, I've got to be making content through the day. I've got to be making mixes. And it's like, I felt if I'm not doing anything, I'm wasting my time. But then there was like, in all that, there's no moment for like yourself to just like look after yourself, like switch go outside off and exercise and eat healthy. And it's like a never ending cycle, isn't it?
It's something that I learned sort of as I got older, was I really have strong hobbies, which really just take my mind off it. I love sports, I love football, I love play golf, I like gaming, and that really just allows you to switch off and do something else. Because like you say, there was a 5-year period where I was going all in, and I'd wake up from a gig, straight into the studio making content.
Someone mentioned here, you've got to bear in mind about if you're producing music as
Oh my God.
Like you go from playing music out to then sitting in front of a screen and producing it all day. Like it can become a trap.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Tip number three is stay connected. Now this is like staying connected to like your real friends, your family, which is difficult. We talked about it before on the podcast where you work when people are socializing. When your family have got weekends off, you are at work. Yeah. So it's difficult to like see your friends, to, you know, go to the shop at the right time, to go, you know, see your friends on a weekend, go out for family meals, missing, you know, birthday parties and that kind of thing. Trying to stay connected, even to your, you know, if you've got DJ friends as well in a circle, it's hard to see them because they might be working when you're working.
Yeah.
But just trying to stay connected, because especially with DJ friends, you're all doing the same thing. And you might be like, tired, going through it, waking up late, speak to your other DJ friends about it, because definitely doing the same thing. They're going through the exact same thing as you, and it's a unique job. And I think that, you know, something like this podcast is really helpful, where we can express these points and get involved, and people in the comments, I can see lighting up the comments, that have similar experience, to be able to just like talk about it and get over these hurdles. And it's like, oh my God, I'm on my, you know, 7 nights. I remember we have a term called Freshers Week in the UK, which is basically when all the student season starts. I'm not sure what it is abroad, but where the student season starts, and there is like an influx of like 100,000 new students in this city, and then for like 6 weeks all the clubs are sold out. There's new clubs, there's new bars, and I remember doing like 30 nights in a row. Yeah. Wild.
It's intense.
It's that thing of just because the opportunity is available, does it mean that you should do it?
Yeah.
And I think it's finding that self, like that resilience in yourself to go, just because I can make more money, is it actually worthwhile for me to do? And that's where, if you're in that position where you're getting offered 30 nights in a row, bravo, you're in the position then to turn, say no to some.
Yeah.
Because don't worry, like if you could stack out 30 nights in a row, you're not going to suddenly lose your gigs and be in a bad position.
Yeah.
So just have that foresight and go, I don't need to say yes to everything, going back to that saying, you know, saying no when to say no. I don't need to say yes to everything to try and please everyone. You know, if you say no to someone, they're not going to suddenly go, well, I'm not going to book him again.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just have that resilience and believe in yourself to know that your skills are good enough that people are going to still come and ask you again. Yeah. If you say no to one gig, it's not going to ruin the rest of your career.
I think from a business, but on sort of my own experience, from a business standpoint as well, if you are fortunate enough to be sort of regular gigs, is asking yourself why I'm doing this. Because when I did them 30 nights a week when I was probably like 27, 28, I can tell you now that I did not do anything with that money. Like I just spent that money. I wasn't investing it. I didn't buy a house with it. I was probably just going on holidays, partying, and I didn't really do anything with that money. Whereas now, if I have opportunity to do gigs, I'll be like, okay, this is where this is going. This is why I'm doing this. This is why I'm doing this. So I can put some in savings and investments, or, you know, put back into your business or something like that. So yeah, don't just be doing gigs and for the sake of it. Because it's like burning the candle at both ends, as I say.
Yeah.
So yeah, start with a why. And I think the last one is, yeah, try and stay balanced is what we've been talked about, is try and separate the job from your like life, because it does roll into one. It's hard to sort of separate them. And like I have a DJ alias, so my name is Lawrence James, but that's only my DJ name.
Yeah.
So I try to like get home, turn him off,
yeah,
and then wake up as myself. But it is difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, I find that really hard just today. Now,
with
Crossfader, I live and breathe it.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And sometimes I do have to like just check in and be like, oh,
just take a moment.
Just take a moment. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm bringing work home all the time.
Yeah,
yeah. So that balance is a big thing.
Even little things in it, just, you know, a couple of hours of Netflix on a night.
Yeah.
You know, just like.
Yeah. Don't feel guilty about it.
That's the thing.
that's the thing.
That is one of them things of like feeling guilty. Yeah. Like I remember being like, again, going back a few years, being like, one of my friends being like, oh yeah, like, what you done today? Because I made loads of content. He'd be like, oh yeah, play like FIFA on my PlayStation. And I'd be like, why? What are you doing yourself?
Yeah.
But I realise actually now, I should have played a bit more FIFA, because it is like it's escapism, isn't it? Like, which is needed. And some people like deal with it better than others. Some people's trigger is to like dive into work and do more, but in the end, you do get that burnout. Creator burnout is wild.
I'm really enjoying this therapy session.
It's important, man, though. It really is.
Important.
No, it really is.
Yes, guys. As always, guys, we like to give you guys a little juicy discount every time you tune into this podcast. Go to wearecrossfader.co.uk now, and if you want to take one of our courses, you can use the code OFFTHERECORD for 20% off all courses. We recently released the Flex 4 Pro course, and if you are a complete package customer, if you don't know what that is, a complete package is all of our courses bundled into one product, plus 50 hours of bonus content, plus access to all courses that we make. If you are a complete package customer, go to your account now, because there is a brand new course in there for you right now as we speak.
Whoop.
Or if you want to just go and buy the complete package, you'll have a course that's not available yet.
It's not available yet. You know what? I won't even say out more about that. No.
Check it out.
Go and check it out. Danny, you go and hop on the decks.
Let's go.
We are gonna get into a bit of a game. Last week we
need a jingle for it.
We need a jingle for it. We do. I've got a little segment. And if you are watching live, you'll get a little tasty sneak peek of the Euphonia. What do you think of the name?
Yeah, so when I got it through on the press release, I was like, Euphonia, they're trying to like do a play on Euphoria because good. And then when I got the actual like
tell them what it means.
And did the press release like chat with them, It's actually to do with a genus of bird.
It's to do with a bird.
What was it?
It's something to do with a bird song. Right. It's something to do with some bird. So it's nothing to do with euphoric or anything like that.
No.
Something to do with the sound of a bird.
I think.
And if you look at the A of the euphonia, it's supposed to look like a bird or something like that. But anyway, you know, do you like it or don't you like it? Let us know.
Shall we read it out? Where is it?
But you are, yeah, you will get a sneak peek of it if you are watching live or you watch this back. If you're on Spotify, you can watch it as well on Spotify, of the euphonia in action, right, as we play add to playlist.
It's a group of neotropical birds in the finch family.
Okay.
The genus name is of Greek origin and refers to the bird's pleasing song, meaning sweet-voiced. The eu means well or good, and phone means sound, hence a good sound. Euphonia.
Euphonia. Sound like a spiritual retreat.
Oh, man.
Guys, we are playing our new game called Add to Playlist. You seemed to like it last week, so we'll do it this week. And our aim is to build your library. We're also going to sort of... We always get asked, what genre is this song? How do I categorise a genre? And you'll see from this game that a genre is personal to you. There are obviously some sections, some obvious slam dunks. But you'll see that me and Jamie are going to talk through some of these tracks.
Yep.
We're going to decide what genre they are, what folder they're going to go in our playlist. We're going to give them an energy rating, and then maybe like what time we might play this in a set. And then we're going to either add to playlist or we're going to ditch it and put it in the bin because it's trash. So Danny's on the decks.
I am. Can you hear me okay?
We can. You seem to have a bit of a feedback. Is that? Am I on the right thing? Am I on the right? Is that this? This one? This
one? Is it this one?
Yeah, I think it's fine.
We're good.
Okay, so right. I've got a couple. Well, I'm not going to categorize them. I'll let you guys decide, but let's... should we start?
Yeah, go for it, yeah.
Are you ready?
Go. Okay.
I've been
Fred. Ooh, Fred. Is it a remix?
Yeah, he obviously is, yeah.
Oh, exciting.
It's giving garage, is it?
Ooh. Let's see.
I told you, Danny always has the bangers. Like, we don't need to
discuss this. This is added. Yeah. Oh my god!
I love the original. Leave me alone. But yeah. That is just
get back to the drop on.
Right, go again. Everybody, look at that smile.
It's disgusting.
Right, what are we thinking then? So,
energy level 5.
Yeah, but
come on,
I feel like it could still just be before the main part of a night.
Is it? This is slam.
I feel like it's got a bit of a vibe to it, like where you just be grooving. So I'd play this a bit earlier on.
Yeah.
I feel like the original is more the main set.
Okay. So,
and it's got the garagey drums.
Genre, are we going? I'd add this into my garage playlist.
Yeah.
I'd also add
it in bassline.
Yeah. I've got a folder just entitled like Boiler Room,
yeah,
which is like not one specific genre. It's just like a lot of like bassy edits, yeah, where this would definitely go in. What is the track? What is the?
Oh, so the actual track is Fred Again, Leave Me Alone, but it's an edit by Hamdi.
Hamdi! Oh my god, Hamdi is the guy. If you like bass house, if you like dub, if you like UK bass. Yeah, Hamdi is the guy.
He's the guy.
100%.
Right.
Well, I enjoyed that. That's added to playlist.
Added to playlist. And that, I'm playing that tonight.
Yeah. We will also supply the track list as we do every week in Discord. So check it out in there after.
Just leave your USB in there, Danny.
Right, next one. Are we ready? This is one of the tunes of the year for me. What are we thinking?
I'm going to struggle to put this...
Just play a bit more.
This is... Oh!
See? Oh, yeah. What would you class it as, this?
Right.
As a genre? Well, this is a tricky one.
So I'm going bass house, but it could also go in like... I can only think of bass house for me in this section. It's too fast and energetic for house. It's not going in my house playlist.
But again, I think it'd fit in that garagey vibes. Even though it's not garage, the structure of it is
garage bass folder.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, my sort of boiler room folder. This is going in. And I guess this is a folder where I can't really categorize what it is, but it's going in here.
It's going to work. It's like a unique. You know that it's going to get a reaction because it's so unique.
Yeah. Energy.
That draw.
Four.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Early doors. If we say peak time is 2 a.m., I'm going in about 1 a.m. with this.
You reckon?
Yeah,
play a little snippet again, Danny.
A little snippet.
And the drop comes out of nowhere.
You know what? This is one of those tracks that you could play it early doors and people, when they're warming up, they'll be like, yeah, this is the vibe.
Yeah.
But you could also play it like in the middle of a load of bangers, and because of that unique, like, weird synth sound, it'd go off as well because it'd just catch people out and you'd get that initial reaction. But if you played it in the peak set, I'd probably not play it for long.
Yeah,
I'd be like, right, catch them out with the drop. They're like, whoa, what was that? Just come out of nowhere. And then you're mixing straight onto the next thing.
That's a track where the DJ behind me is asking what it is.
Yeah.
am I adding that to a playlist? Yeah. I am. Are you?
Cool. So that song is 160 by MPH.
160 by MPH.
I would 100% put it bass garage again.
Yeah.
That's same for me. Yep. Absolute banger. Right. Next one. Ready?
Let's do it.
Another edit.
Feels D&B to me. I love the sample already. A tornado flew around my road before you came. Excuse the mess it made. It usually doesn't rain in Southern California much. Yes.
It wouldn't get added to my playlist.
Oh, listen. Well, the problem is, this is one of my top five R&B songs of all time.
Frank Ocean, innit?
Yeah, Frank Ocean, Thinking About You. So
it is one of the top, but I feel like it's kind of been ruined. I love how amazing the original is. I know you can't play
If you play me this a cappella, it would add to playlist. It's just personal to me. There's no bad edit of this song because I just love this song.
I don't know where I'd play it though because it's drum and bass. It'd sit in the drum bass speed, right, in the BPM.
But there are moments in a DJ set where you need to wind it back before you build it up.
Yeah.
And especially if you're going into a D&B set and if you're playing like Jump Up and stuff like that, there's a time where you just have to drop back and play some Liquid.
That's true, yeah. And everyone will sing along. And everyone like, this will sing, vibe.
You sing alongs like Afterglow and that kind of thing. Pull it back a little bit before you either switch genre or go back in.
That one's cool, but it wouldn't go in my playlist.
Yeah, Energy's like 2.
Yeah.
Chill.
Yeah.
This would go in my car.
It's a switch for me.
The only thing that I would add it to my playlist is because I love this song. Would I play this in a club? Where I play, personally, I don't think they would know this track well enough. So I'm going to say no, but this is going into my car playlist.
Nice. Okay.
Right. Next one already. Oh, by the way, that track is
Frank Ocean, Thinking About You,
but the edit is by Nakan Spence.
Oh yeah. Oh, miss, listen. N-A-K-E-N. If you do one thing today, go on Nakan's SoundCloud. Nakan.
Yeah.
Unreal edits.
Right. Next one. I love this one personally, so I hope you enjoy it. What were we saying?
I'm thinking deep house.
Deep house.
I'm thinking deep house. A little bit of tropical vibes in there.
Yeah.
Deep house.
Skip. At this point, I'd skip like to the next section of next part of the song. Play the next part of the song for me. Skip through. Does it change? Is there anything? Any other element?
Quite like this vibe. Yeah. So energy is about a 2 again. Isn't
yeah.
It? It's about a 2. Oh, it's a warm up. Yeah, so for sure. I don't particularly play or listen to this vibe, personally, and I don't have any sets where this would in a warm up you could play it, obviously anything, but this isn't my style. But I would put this in a deep house folder, where you know it might be a filler as a warm up.
It's quite fast for deep house though.
From a BPM standpoint, it's got a garagey drum.
It has got garagey drums, but it's not. There's not enough to it for me. Mm. Like I feel like the drums are a vibe, and then it's just kind of quite repetitive.
It's a bit like Fred again, Adore You, kind of chill
Yeah.
Chill clubby. Chill clubby. That's the folder. Chill club.
It's not going in my playlist.
Yeah. Chill club, though.
Sorry, Danny.
Like a chill club folder. All of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was Looking for Love Disclosure, Duskus on the remix.
Duskus on the remix.
One he's more? Like Gary G, but he's very like atmospheric, chill vibe.
Yeah.
I don't know if the original I'd prefer.
Yeah.
Potentially.
There's a big the Salute remix of this as well. Right. Big heavy garage one. Mm. Right, next one. We ready?
Yep. I'm liking this.
I absolutely love this song so much.
Again, I don't know where it's going to go. Which
I have no idea.
Oh, and I love a pitched up vocal.
Come on.
I feel like it get annoying quickly though.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't know.
It's got a bit of a switch.
Oh yeah.
I'll keep it going. Over here.
Oh. Woo.
It's a banger.
Send me this.
There we go.
Now.
See, this is the thing. Danny always comes with the tracks. You like. It makes our job very hard to categorize in this game.
Where did you find this?
What genre is this? Like,
oh my, that was genuinely
a similar vibe to the first one, maybe like garagey.
But that was genuinely three or four genres. That
it was.
Yeah. Again, that's going in my sort of boiler room folder. Yeah. But I mean, where I'd put that, I have no idea. It's adding to playlist for sure.
Yeah.
Energy 4.
Yeah.
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 I feel like it's one of those like crate digging tunes that you can just throw in at any point, just like just out of the blue.
Yeah.
Don't have a guess of the artist?
Ooh.
Don't know.
Oh.
No? Hudson Mohawk.
Oh. That is unsurprising.
Do you want to hear it again?
Go on.
Go on, play that drop again where it's switched.
Yeah, I love the key shift.
Yeah. I wonder if that was like a mistake. And he just was like, yeah, keep that.
You know, it's interesting you said Hudson Mohawk for that because it, like, just going back to what genre, it's five genres in one. That's like what he's known for, you know. He's constantly like crossing genres together and manipulating them in a way that just creates a whole new sound. So really cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I think, I think they're all going, apart from the Frank Ocean one, they're all going in sort of garage / bass.
Yeah.
Folder.
I think that would go in my playlist.
That is in my playlist for sure. Yeah. I'm playing that tonight. Facts.
Nice.
Facts. Good job. What's that one called again?
That is Set the Roof.
Set the Roof.
Hudson Mohawk and Nicky Nair.
Hudson Mohawk, hello. All of them track lists, guys. If you want to head to our Discord, just search Crossfader Discord. And we'll put all of them in the little podcast section, which will add all the track lists in there as well. If you're watching back on YouTube, we'll stick them in there. We'll stick it in the comments as well. Hope you enjoyed that. Let us know if you're feeling that game. We'll bring different energy, different vibes every week. Each one of us will bring in some tracks every week and test them out and see if you like them. But yeah, hopefully you like that game. We're enjoying it. Enjoying bringing a bit of music to the podcast. Because if you are on Facebook, you're probably not here anymore.
Sorry.
Let's have a look.
Okay. It's because there was all edits.
Shout out ten of you. We got one more.
We got kicked off Facebook last week. As soon as the game started.
Cheers, Mark.
Have we got any questions? I've got a good one. If you haven't, have we got any questions about
that? Rufus said, "What mics do you guys use?" And he said more like when we're out and about, so in the club, like what mics are we using?
The classic
SM57, isn't it?
Sure, SM is it 58?
58. There is Shure,
SM57 or 58.
Yeah.
Is the GOAT. It's like a Sennheiser HD25 for headphones.
Yeah.
That is just the only one. I think the only one I've ever used. I think.
Just going back to the Euphonia, someone said I expected to hate the Euphonia, but learning more about it has made me like it quite a lot. Never mixed on a rotary, but I'd definitely do if I had the chance. I think that's what it's gonna do.
I think like I said before, if there was a bit more of an easy access into this market. It might be a bit more popular, or somebody just needs to make it super popular. Do you know?
Just need James hype on it.
Pratik said, "Can you please suggest a couple of routines or good habits for someone who wants to learn mixing? So just like some drills, some habits. Yeah. What can we do to like start learning how to
I like first of all, I like the frictionless element of it, where you know, where you have your setup somewhere where you don't have to plug it in, where you can just literally press on and it's ready to go. Because that is one of the barriers, first of all, is being like, oh, I've got to go upstairs, get it out of the box, plug in the wires, you know, connect it and everything. It's just a nightmare. So if you can have a setup ready to go, that is a big hurdle.
I always go back to, I've said it multiple times on the podcast, but narrow your music library down. We have access to millions and millions of songs now with streaming services. If you're starting as a DJ, you suddenly have a million songs. It can be overwhelm.
Yep.
So narrow it down. Find just 10 songs that have nice long intros and outros. They've got a good strong beat to them. So you're not just picking a radio edit that starts with a vocal. Find 10 songs that fit that criteria, put them in a playlist and mix them over and over and over, back and forth, and just work on them and just work on that repetition of practicing, just beat matching, mixing, and then just slowly introduce one or two other tracks, or you know, pick another set of 10 tracks and do the same thing again, do them in different orders, and that's something I'd always recommend going back to doing. We've got a few more.
Amazing,
let's go.
Hardest thing about DJing is being consistent. Do we have any tips for that?
Oh my god, yeah. I mean, in all areas, that goes for everything, right? So it goes for practicing, goes for making your content.
Yeah.
It goes for anything really. Consistency is the thing that will separate you from different levels. Somebody who can post every day will probably do better than someone who is trying to perfect a post for three or four days.
Yeah.
Posting it, sitting on it, you know, and stop start. If you can commit to anything for 30 days, you'll see the benefit of it.
Yeah.
Whether that's practice, whether that's networking, you know, you can set yourself a goal of like messaging two new people every day in your circuit, like a manager or a club or a bar or a restaurant or whatever it is. You can set yourself a goal of uploading every day to TikTok. You can set yourself a goal of, you know, starting a TikTok account, uploading once a day. And then when it comes to practicing, you can say, right, I'm leaving Netflix for a month and I'm just going to go an hour every night or every morning to practice. 100%.
I think utilizing a calendar as well. So use a calendar outside of whatever platform you're promoting on, or doing whatever you're doing. Have a calendar and use it. So I swear by my calendar. There's many out there. You could just use standard Google calendar, the Apple calendar. Notion, for example, is really good because you can combine notes and a calendar all sorts. So plan out what you want to achieve in a month and don't try and fill every day to start with. Like, just be like, okay, what, you know, can I do 3 days a week of something? Actually put them in the calendar of like, you know, I want this to go out this date, this to go out this date, and then something else. Then try and batch it together and think, okay, in a month, if I make four little quick routines, that could be one routine a week for the next 4 weeks. So that's a month's worth of like routine content. And then it's like, okay, I need to do like an image post about something. I just need four. And then I've got a month's worth, you know, and just batch each and think, okay, three of them, three different topics, four of each, I've got a month's worth, and repeat that. And then try and add more. Once you're on the cycle, go, okay, I'll do four, five, and then fill out every day eventually. So calendar's massively important to map out what you want to do.
And if you need to stay consistent, that is literally why the How to Get Gigs course was created. If you need help being consistent, making content, just go to wearecrossfader.co.uk and check out the How to Get Gigs course. If you need to be consistent in learning to DJ or bettering yourself, then there's loads of courses, over 25 courses on there. All different genres, all different equipment, all different software, and a brand new course coming next week. And if you want 20% off any of those courses, you can use the code OFFTHERECORD. We'll leave you there because Jamie needs to go and get his third dessert. We'll see you next week.